It can be good as we come back together here to maybe do some kind of retroactive mindfulness and just survey a little bit the last 2 hours and 15 minutes and see. Not with judgment, never with judgment, huh? When we practice in with mindfulness, just with curiosity, like what happened in the last 2 hours or so? Was it possible to keep the practice alive? Or was it forgotten? Or was it more like intermittent that it came back? Was the practice coming back, or was the guilt about the idea of doing the practice or having been supposed to do the practice? Honestly, we could look at this. And what we want to develop in this practice is honesty, kindness, discernment. Discernment is being able to see what is what, you know, without judgment, so without the layer of hatred, self-hatred or hatred of somebody else, just see, seeing, oh yeah, the mind got caught in its habits or its forgetfulness or mindlessness. It would be unbelievable that it did at some point. Or no, there was definitely something that was there, an intention, a slowing down. You know, there was a presence during the meal. You know, this generous presence of mind. This, somebody was describing, I think it's Analayo again, because I've been reading him lately. And he saying that mindfulness is sometimes translated, as some of you know, by remembering. And so there's the question, so is mindfulness a quality of presence, or it's a remembering of something? Well, you know, often we say, maybe it's more a modern way to talk about it, but we'll say what it remembers, mindfulness remembers itself. Oh. There was the intention to be present in a particular way, in a more full way, bringing full attention. Or maybe Sati remembers present time. But Analayo, the way he talks about the idea of remembering, I think is right on. He says, when you're very, very mindful, it's very much like when, you know, somebody's explaining to you how to get somewhere or fix something or do something and really want to know. Or you're going somewhere for the last time and you want to have strong impressions, you know, remember. And so what you'll do is you'll be very, very mindful. You know, if you want to learn something, like Pascal, listen to me, I'll tell you how to get there. It's not easy. You're lost right now, but I'll tell you where it's easy. But listen, I really have to tune in. Okay, what are you telling me? I have to be there so I can remember. So that's the same. That's mindfulness, being really fully present. And what happened when we're fully present is we, you know, things leave stronger impressions on us because we're so attentive. So much so that we can remember later. And I remember, maybe some of you know Temple Smith, a good friend of ours, colleagues. We traveled together. And we've traveled together a few times, actually. We were travel buddies for a while, you know, going to Burma and going to Thailand to sometimes to practice or travel around. We went to visit Kamala Masters in Hawaii. We had the chance to travel maybe three times together. And sometimes, like a few weeks, we would say, hey, I want to, if it's okay with you, I'd like to talk about something that happened during the trip, you know? You know, when we were in this place and you said that. And so kind of processing some things that were not like, you know, when you travel with somebody sometimes. And I thought it was amazing because we remembered our intention. We remember what was said. So we could have a conversation and we could, you know, Temple would say, you said that. I said, yeah, but when you said that, what I had heard before was this. And we often we were like, wow, it's as if yesterday, like we remember exactly the states of our mind, the interpretation, the perception we had, you know. It was really good to actually unpack what happened. And anyway, so the memory that can come with being mindful. So somebody was asking a question about, is there like a loss, is it known or reported or documented that there's a cognitive loss, losing when you with mindfulness, that you notice less things because you're maybe noticing more other things and stuff like this. Actually, I've never heard this. And when I say like time slows down or might seem to slow down, it's not because we get like this. it's because you know, there's a sensitivity is heightened. Both the sensitivity is heightened and the equanimity, the capacity to be sensitive, and that's working on in mindfulness practice. We want to really feel what's going on inside of us, in our relationship to the world. We want to become, raise awareness, we could say, yeah? And at the same time, capacity to be sensitive, you know, either the calm inside or the benevolence or the courage or the tea, you know, like many, it takes a lot to be able to be sensitive. If we're not well accompanied when we're sensitive, the world is unbearable, isn't it? You know, we get all worked up, we collapse inwardly, it's too much stimulation. So in this practice, we develop the capacity to be sensitive, you know, to not shut down or explode with information. Anyway, I wanted to touch a little bit on the memory and mindfulness here. And one or a few, some of the qualities that will help us become more sensitive as we're developing that that sensitivity through practice. The quality of metta, loving kindness, you know, to actually be touched by the world in an inner environment that is loving, is much easier than being touched by the world in an environment, inner environment that is reactive, you know, because as you know, in the world, we'll be touched by beauty, we'll be touched by things that have meaning, that are rich, that are beautiful, yeah, and we'll be touched also by things that are disturbing and not wanted and uncomfortable and you know, there'll be, you know, that are, I don't know what's the word in English when you're surprised in a not so good way, you know, disappointed maybe, and, you know, we'll feel all kinds of things. And so if this of course happens in an inner environment where there's calm, it's going to be full equanimity, of course. And certainly compassion and friendliness will be extremely important. So tonight, I thought we could explore this a bit more. For many of you who've been practicing this maybe longer than I, metta. I like Anushka Fernandopoulos's translation of metta, unstoppable, friendly. It's very beautiful. Unconditional love is too big for me. my brain can like I can produce that or experience that, but unstoppable friendliness seems like something I can cultivate or work on or invite. I try to you know, present it in another way, but since a couple of years, I just always come back to the same way of practicing metta that resonates for me. And I always think there might be a couple of people who haven't done it this way and that might benefit from doing metta in this way. And the way that I think of, that I have in mind is based on something I think I read in Ajahn Suchito's book on the perfections, paramis. It was just one line where he was saying that metta, loving kindness, was a practice of renunciation. It's what's left when we have removed the grudges, the resentment, the expectations, the injunctions, you should be like this, it should be like this. Like when we remove what hinders it, naturally there is, you know, this wish for well-being, this friendliness appears. I really like that. It seems less effortful, you know, instead of producing friendliness or love or, you know, to actually just remove. And yeah, so I started playing with this a little bit. And what's helpful for me, you'll see for yourself, but for me, like, I like the whole angle, we could say, when we practice of exploration, we're trying things out, you know, it's a lab, the retreat is a big lab, and we're trying stuff where, you know, there's instructions given, there's a philosophy, you know, Buddhist psychology, and we're going in there and we're playing with this to find things for ourselves, you know. And so for me, renouncing, you know, what hinders works well if I tell myself that I'm removing the obstacle to love or friendliness in a relationship just for a few seconds. You know, that I can pick back up my ideas about somebody else, you know, how they, or, you know, my better version of them that I have in my mind. I have a better version of you in my mind. Let me tell you about it, how you would behave, what you would feel, what you would say, when you would do it. Do you have this sometimes with people, parents, children, you know, you're great, but I have an improved version. It would be much better for me than for you. Sometimes I say to myself, so Pascal, let's put it on the side just for a few minutes, you know, or I have a good reason to have resentment against this one or that one, you know, I'll just put it aside for a few moments just to see. And then I can pick it back up. You know, I have the right to my grudges if I decide. And maybe I'll decide not to bring them back. Anyway, we could play with this a little bit if you want. Okay. So I invite you to find the posture. It's always the same rules of the game. You know, you choose your posture and your eyes can be opened or closed, whatever works for you, whatever makes you feel right or better or safe, or and if you're not interested in my version that I'm suggesting, tune me out, shut me down. You have all the control. it's often presented like this, that it's good to become aware of the body here now. Maybe by doing this slowly, we're getting acquainted, developing a better relationship with the body, just touching in a bit. It's also that the body is such an amazing doorway, direct access to the heart or the mind. You know, when we become aware of the body, often we'll find out how we are inside in the inner world. So noticing how the body is at this time today after a long or short day of practice, however you perceive it. How's the body? Is it relaxed? Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. Can it be okay just for a moment that it feels like this in this body? It might feel good, it might not. Can it be okay just for a few moments here that it feels like this? In the practice of renunciation, metta renunciation, could start right here with the body. Sometimes I think of it almost as a ceasefire. So for a few moments here, let's, if at all possible, put down the judgments we have against this body, that it should be more like this or less like that. Just for a moment, if possible, allowing the body to be just as it is, as it is. We might put a lot of demands, expectations, judgments. Whatever for you is hindering your relationship with the body, could some of it be put aside, abandoned for a few moments? Maybe allowing us feel some tenderness, compassion for this body. It's not easy to have a body. So many sensation, so fragile, strong, but also very fragile, easily hurt, easily feeling pain, ache. Skin. Powerful and fragile at the same time. May the skin be well. And underneath the skin, inside there, all the flesh and muscles and tendons, organs, so much life. The blood in there, the digestive system, the respiratory system, immune system, so many systems at work. So many systems that could go wrong. Maybe appreciation or tenderness for this living body. Putting aside all expectations and demands, or hope for a different body, appreciating this one, this one here now. These senses, this brain, these bones, may they be healthy. May there be appreciation and care for this body. And then maybe we could think, as we do often when we practice metta in the classic way, maybe we could think somebody we share life with in some way, that we're in a relationship with through maybe family, partnership, or friendliness. So we think of a friend, a partner, a member of the family. We let one come to mind. We might see them or think of them in our way. And maybe naming inwardly their name. And if you want, exploring this in your own way, but thinking something along the lines of, I free you from my expectations, demands, at least for a moment. I free you from my judgment around you, or resentment. I free you and I free myself from these hindrances so that I can wish you well. I free you from the fears I have to around you. That something happened to you, or that I lose you. For a moment, I free you from any agitation in me. Do well. I free you from the improved version of you I have in my mind, in the back of my mind often. I free myself from that. I fully recognize your humanity. I give you back your humanity. Your right to be fully who you are. May you take good care of yourself. May you love and honor yourself. As we're at it, I'd like to free myself, at least for a moment, from any judgments you might have against me, any resentment, or I'd like to free myself from your expectations and demands for a moment to feel how it feels to be free from that, your views, preconceived ideas about me. If you want, you can stay here with this person in mind, or you could bring somebody else in mind, or to mind. It's another relationship that you have, maybe from work or in the neighborhood or school, roommate, housemate. Parent, child, sibling, somebody comes to mind for this spring cleaning here. Person comes to mind, hey you, yes, come over here. I'd like to try this on you. A moment at least. I want to free you from my expectations about you, my demands, fears, judgment, preconceived ideas, limiting views. I want to free you. Any rigid view I have about you, my ideas about you, I'd like to wish you well. like to wish you deep well-being. Ease. And I'd like to free myself from any expectation, judgments, words that you put on me for at least a few moments. I'd like to remove these things that limit my freedom. My well. I free myself from your preconceived ideas about me. Sometimes I get a little creative with this, so if you want, you can follow me or just let me go for a while here. But I like to do this with the past, thinking of the past, my past. And seeing if it's possible to abandon any judgment I have about my past, that it should be different. Make peace for a moment, at least, with the past. Just if it feels right to you, this is what happened. Free my past from any desire for it to be different. Judgments I have around it, from my limiting views about it. I make peace with the past. At least for a moment, just to see how it would feel. I could do the same with the future. Just for a moment, I abandon my fear of the future. My clinging for it to be a certain way and not another way. I release the future from any kind of clinging I have about it. May my future be as it will be. May I be able to meet it, appreciate it. Be fully engaged with it. You could do the same if you want with the present or with life or with somebody that comes to mind. Let you play with this for a few minutes if you want. Or just simply be here. If you want, you could think of yourself for a moment, at least for a moment. I free myself from judgments I have against myself, from all the demands I put on myself constantly or often. From all the shoulds, from the preconceived ideas I have about myself, limiting views I have about myself for a moment at least. I free myself from these. And wish myself well. Freeing myself from, at least for a moment, from the shame or self-loathing or disqualifying thoughts I have. I free myself from these to see what's possible, what's underneath. Maybe a wish for well-being. Friendliness. And You might think, if you want, thinking of removing barriers and obstacles to friendliness. You know, if through your culture or family culture, if you've learned, you've been conditioned to hate certain groups or fear them or not consider them. It could be minority groups or minority group or folks that are often put in the margin of society. Any group of being that comes to mind that you've been taught to disregard or fear. Maybe one group comes to mind. For a moment, at least for a moment, I free from the preconceived ideas and bias that I have against you. Free you from limiting views, and I recognize your humanity, your sensitivity, and with this, I wish for you well. I wish for you safety. And you might be, you might want to release yourself from any judgment you felt from society or dominant groups or because of your skin color or gender expression, sexual orientation, mother tongue, body shape. For a moment at least, I free myself from the messages I got. I free myself from your hate or the way you never see me or your limiting views about me. Free myself from the way I internalized these attitudes and messages. And I wish myself well. I celebrate myself. I recognize my humanity and sensitivity. The fullness of my being. May all beings in all directions, may all beings, those who were, those who are, those who are about to be, or will be much later, May all beings be protected by consideration and the love of others. May all beings protect others with their benevolence and unstoppable friendliness. Okay, thank you so much. It might have resonated with you and it might not. That's okay. In any, you know, one is more pleasant than the other, I agree. You know, when something resonates, it's fun. It's pleasurable, it makes sense. It's yeah, but it might not. It might not be your style. It might not be your style tonight, or it might be your style tonight. You know, it might have made sense. I know for me, I have to tell you, when I get into this, I just want to clear everybody up. You know, I'm like, oh yeah, this person I work with who annoys me, bring them over. I want to blast them with love and renounce my opinion about them for a few minutes, because it's liberating for me, you know, and it's so beautiful to recognize that somebody is a human being. And you know that anyway, I my mind starts racing. It just wants to pick this one and bring this one over here. I'm gonna drop everything I have against them for at least a moment. So, you know, here it's late, it's time for bed for moi, but for you, maybe there's a few more hours of being awake. So be caring, be attentive if it feels right, you know, or be habitual, be compulsive, be obsessive, you know, you decide. We don't get to exactly decide so often, but there's an option out there, which is to, you know, and it's hard because it's moving out of habit, but there's a possibility maybe here tonight of keeping something alive so we don't have to start from scratch tomorrow. It's really painful to have to start the machine again, you know, so to actually keep something gently going, some kind of caring going as we move about, caring in the way we move, caring in the way we hold things or move them about. You know, caring in the way we, whatever we do, you know, and simplicity, you know, if there's a compulsion to go, you know, get the news or any kind of information just to not be with myself, you know, sometimes it takes, you know, courage and heroism to say, I'm going to check the weather in here. I'm going to check the news in here. I'm gonna check the, you know, what's it called? The new, yeah, the social media of here, you know, what's happening here? So if you can stay here, sense restraint, it's called, you know, not losing ourselves out there. So staying close, it's gonna pay. It's how do you say that? Delayed gratification? You know? So you have the choice between the candy, information, or the gold of insight, of wisdom. Which one do you choose? The candy or the gold? We'll see tomorrow. What happened? Okay. Thank you so, so much. Good night.